heaven whereby men and women can be saved, but your name. We thank you for that, and we embrace that and accept that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we separate for the washing of feet and then come back together at the table, I would like to share for a few minutes the message, He Eats With Us. He Eats With Us. Time Magazine, June 7th, 2004, recorded an article by Jeffrey Kluger entitled, Why We Eat. And the author said that humans do not eat merely for nourishment. For many, it is social. It is for fellowship. If by chance you were a guest, you were eating in some parts of South Africa, and if you were the male head of a household, your host would cook the head of a sheep. He would serve everyone of that feast. But you, being the head of the household, you would be honored with eating the eyes. Psychology Today, on the psychology of eating, had an article entitled, Fruits and Friends Don't Mix. Talking about watching TV, our kids watching TV and eating. And when they do that, they develop poor eating habits. Kids eat fewer fruits and vegetables when they're watching TV, and they eat more junk food. According to Tufts University, did a study for the American Academy of Pediatrics. There is a psychology of eating. Say that the message is entitled, He Eats With Us. They say that the best color for eating is blue. For blue suppresses the appetite. So we need a nation to change their dining room colors. Orange and red increase the appetite. And some of the best colors for eating in your dining area is earth tones, because they're warm and friendly, and they provide an atmosphere of pleasure. He eats with us. And they say the tips for making over a dining area where we eat. First of all, you need to not overdo the accessories in your eating area. Number two, they say that the wallpaper, if you have wallpaper, the patterns need to be smaller than the palm of your hand. And they shouldn't be so big that the pattern competes with the faces that sit around the table. They say in order to make your place a place of good eating and conversation, we need to bring nature inside. And so bring in plants and flowers. And then they say have cushioned chairs. There is a psychology in eating. So this passage that we read in the Gospel of St. Luke, 15th chapter in verse 1 and 2, should have been a happy occasion as Jesus eats with them. But I like to read, if you would turn to the Gospel of St. Luke, the scripture that was read, the 15th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, and I'll read while you are turning there. And the Bible says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes did what, everybody? They murmured," or my Bible says, "complained." And this is what they had to say: "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This man receives sinners and eats with them. You know, the tax collectors or the tax gatherers were Jewish men. That's right, men. Who purchased from Rome the official rights to tax and collect tolls from their people. The system was abused. The system was filled with corruption, and the tax collectors were hated by their people. And not only that, these particular jobs as tax collectors made the Jews ritually unclean. And then there was the sinners. They were the immoral people who had questionable occupations. In fact, there are people who no respectable Jew would have anything to do. Jesus eats with us. He eats with us. And so, I believe that within this passage, there's something for us. For when they accuse Jesus of eating with tax collectors and sinners, this is the answer that Jesus gives them. He gives them a parable. In fact, three parables. Parable of the lost sheep, parable of a lost coin, parable of a lost person. Three parables. And listen to the first parable. "And so he spake this parable to them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." You know what they said about Jesus? You'll find other places where they talk about him and his eating. They said he eats and drinks, and he's a glutton because of who he's eating with. And then Jesus shows us a story in the 14th chapter of Luke. You see, Jesus just doesn't eat with sinners and tax collectors. In Luke chapter 14, there's a story about Jesus eating with the Pharisees. You see, Jesus eats with everybody. I want you to get that. Jesus eats with everybody. So in that story of Luke chapter 14, as Jesus is eating with the Pharisees, it says a man enters who had dropsy. Now, I don't know what dropsy is. I looked it up. I don't know if any of the doctors that are here, I don't think you tell your patients that they have dropsy. So when I looked it up, it says it's a symptom rather than a disease itself. But it was the swelling of limbs, retaining fluid. And so this individual entered the room where Jesus was eating bread, the Bible says, with the Pharisees. And guess what problems they had? Instead of focusing on what they should have been focusing on, they were jockeying back and forth for a place of honor at the table. They were into themselves. So Jesus had to tell them, everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And then he goes on to say in Matthew, the tax collectors and harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you. Now, what's all this going on about eating? What's the background? What's happening? What is Jesus saying? Well, first of all, this is a passage that's dealing with Jesus seeking the lost. And those are usually the people that have the greatest need. And the people sometimes that have the greatest need know it, and they're willing to hear it. Not only that, I believe that Jesus was pushing the boundaries of his church. Jesus knew that there would come a time when the church would not be accepting of everyone. Oh, look out now. I'm getting ready to get into people's stuff now. Jesus knew that would be a time when a church would say they are just not good enough to be here. I'm glad that's not Fallbrook. Amen? Aren't you? Jesus knew that that would happen one day. And so he was pushing the boundaries of the church, because in order for the church to exist, the church must get out of its safety zone. The church must take a risk. Jesus was establishing a world church, a church made up of all kind of people, a diverse church. Jesus was showing us that he eats with us, that he is a God of grace, a God that includes, not excludes, includes everyone. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you endorse that? A church that embraces everyone. When I was aboard ship in the Navy, whenever you were late for a meal, that was a happy time, but whenever you were late for a meal, you had to call up and let somebody know that you were going to be late. Sometimes so that they could make sure that they keep some food for you, but it was just common courtesy to let those in the mess know that you were going to be late. And so if you come in late and the captain is sitting at the table, you had to ask permission to join the mess. You had to look at the captain in the face, say, "Captain, may I join you?" The captain always said yes. I don't think I ever heard the captain say no. But it certainly helped you to, when you had to do that, to make your best effort to be on time. Those were ships that were more formal. I imagine that probably now they're less formal. Bernie, was that going on when you were there? Or it was that way we were in the same time. So I'm not sure if it's gotten less formal, but that's what we had to do. But you know something? One of the things, even though a ship or submarine or would be together as a crew, they did not eat together. I find that interesting as it relates to so-called unity. Officers ate in their own mess. Officers ate with officers. Chiefs ate with chiefs. First class ate with first class, and everybody else who was under that ate among themselves. Interesting, isn't it? Now, I understand the logic. I understand the tradition. But I'm so glad that the church is beyond that, aren't you? That we are inclusive. We don't exclude. Amen? I am so glad for that. You know why? Because that's how I'm here. Because God included me. You know what I like about that story, that parable that Jesus gives? It's the parable of the one going and getting the one lost sheep and putting the sheep on your shoulder. But you notice also it's the parable of the 99 also. How much is 99 plus 1? 100. Everybody's included in that parable. And everybody in here today, we can't leave out any. Everybody in here today is a sinner saved by grace or a sinner in need of his grace. Everybody. There's no exclusion. I'm so glad that God eats with me. Aren't you glad that he didn't exclude you at all? What grace. What love. Do you think I'm worthy to sit at this table? Do you think I boast because I'm sitting in the center chair? I sometimes wish I could move my chair over and not be in the center. I know that's my role. I know I have to do that. But I, you know what keeps me? I know I'm so glad that God included me in his grace and his church. How many are glad to be in God's grace? We're going to come back to the table. And we're going to eat with him. And he's going to eat with us, spiritually in a sense. What a great God we serve. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We're not looking negative at the tax collector and the sinners. We're looking at our own lives, our own selves. We're saying, Lord, thank you. We're the lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't look at anyone. We can't look at the person next to us or the person around us and think we're better than anyone. We're saved people. We're redeemed people. We are the lost that have been found. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, as we join together as one, we thank you for the table and the privilege to come together in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.